Oh, great news, everyone.
Talk radio the way the founding fathers would have done it.
I'm just a man trying to make his mark on history.
Red State Talk Radio.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution, a peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Politics, 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 politics.
That's right. It's politics, politics, politics. Welcome and good morning. I am your host, Warren Markowitz. This is Politically Incorrect on a Warren Markowitz Show, live on Spreaker.com and carried on Blog Talk Radio, Podomatic.com, Red State Talk Radio, iTunes, Facebook, and just about everywhere else you can reach the internet. Hi again and welcome. I appreciate you guys joining me and sharing some time. Over the next hour, we are going to be looking at the results of the upcoming election. Not necessarily who wins or loses, not particularly interested in whose sexual antics or criminality has pushed the election to one side or another. Those are internal issues and problems that we're going to have to deal with over the next four, hopefully not 8 years, because I don't know about you, but neither one of the two candidates gives me any hope or any advantage on the world stage. But we have a lot to think about. We have a lot to see what's going on, what's going to be advanced, how we're going to be looked at on a world stage, where we're going to be as a world power, as a director of world events. Are we going to be a reactionary group? Are we going to be advancing our interests and our allies' interests? Are we going to take stands that may or may not be popular? And are we going to come face-to-face with what has become traditional, at least over the last 100 years, potential enemies, Communist China and the former Soviet Union or / Empire, which is now the Russian Federation? It's a lot to talk about. It's a lot to think about. It's a lot that we really need to recognize in terms of where the next two or three generations are going to be. If we have no foresight as to how we want the world to be developed, no picture of where we want to go, how we want to live, or what we want to stand for, then eventually we will fall, we will be crumbled, we will wind up in the dustbin of history, and we will be just like the Roman Republic that became the Roman Empire, that became a short line in a history book. I, for one, am not looking forward to that, nor do I wish that on my next generation or my third generation or the world itself 250 or 500 years down the road. I don't know about you, but I'd rather see us reaching for the stars and failing miserably as we try to stretch ourselves past this little marble that we all spin and sit upon every day and reach out for those little glowing dots up in the heavens as humanity moves into its next phase, its next expansionist ideal. I think we can do that all together. And we're going to talk about those things over the next hour. I really do appreciate you joining me. Here's one thing I'd like you to do for me before we get to our initial break, which we do every time we open a show, is fairly simple. We have been, my office, the Markowitz Law Firm, or the law office of Warren R. Markowitz Esquire, which is me, has been retained by a gentleman by the name of Jeff Winehouse. He is let's just say the man is in prison for something that no one can figure out of, and is raising money on fundedjustice.com. His last name is Weinhaus. He's also referred to as the Bulletin Man. That's bulletin, as in newspaper. And please check it out. You'll be able to find him in the search bar. We're looking to raise $50,000 to help advance his defense and his appeal. We do appreciate your support, and we hopefully that you, as a listener to this show, would give a little bit of support to help advance the rights of him, of an individual, as well as protect yours. Sit back, relax, enjoy. We'll be right back after this short break. Hi, I'm Warren Markwitz, host of the Warren Markwitz Show. Catch me every Tuesday and Friday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time on Spreaker.com to talk about politics, economics, and anything else that just might tickle my fancy.
Do you take Viagra? Are you tired of overpaying for your pills? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price, guaranteed? Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra. With 20 milligram generic Sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results of Viagra for less than $2 per pill. And again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of Viagra. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-217-0599 to get your generic Sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-217-0599 and get your generic Sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this. So call 800-217-0599 now.
It's his world. You just live in it. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
Okay, before I get lost, I just want to remind you guys, if you want to participate in a broadcast, if you have any comments, or if you just want to simply drop me a note via text, you can go to Radio Markowitz on Skype.com, and we've got the board patched in, we've got everything correct and so forth, and we can share the board with you and the audience, because we can put you right in. If you have a comment, you want to send a text message, you can send it there. Again, it's Radio Markowitz, it's on Skype.com. Also, Twitter.com at Radio Markowitz, Facebook.com Radio Markowitz, and I think you see what's going on here as well. Spreaker, Podomatic, Blog Talk, etc. Okay, we started off by looking at the idea of where we're going in this world. Empire, standing tall, crumbling society, whatnot. All right, we've got one of the worst possible political seasons ever unfolding in front of us. 21 days before the next presidential election. 21 days before somebody who takes the reins from Barack Obama as president. 21 days, three little bitty weeks, before we find out whether or not Hillary or Donald is going to be our president. Now, I'll tell you this right now. There is no way. I'm an independent conservative. I'm a member of the Independent American Party. I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative conservative. I am socially liberal on a personal note. I've got issues I've worked myself out of. But I'm concerned with basic economics. I'm concerned with the simple fact that America can spend itself into oblivion, be so damn laden with debt that there's no way we can wind up advancing our society, building our not our government, but building our infrastructure to the point where we're healthy, we're strong, we're advancing. But in general, right now, all we're doing is paying interest on debt that we've spent decades ago. And we continue to develop systems in which we figure out how to draw more money out of this system. I'll give you an example. Not a fan of Obamacare. A lot of people tell me that, oh, the reason why it's a problem is it's not single payer. Look at single payer. Look at the VA. Look at Medicare. Look at Medicaid. Blah, 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 blah. All right, listen. I believe in competition. I believe in competing forces. I believe in systems that are designed to balance themselves out through market forces. You got a good product, you offer a good price, I go to you. I mean, there's a reason why I shop at Amazon or on eBay, or I go to Fry's Electronics, and I avoid places like even Walmart, Best Buy, Staples, Office Depot, not because they have bad products, But because I can buy the same product at a different location for a few bucks less, now if they're willing to match the prices, I'll give you my money. I will let you compete for my business. And that's the problem I see in the healthcare field. We are losing that competitive edge because what we've done is we've structured a system which allows companies to say, you know what, after a while, I can't make any money here. I got to leave. My costs are too high. My expenses are too high. My obligations are too big. I'm not making anything. Guys, we have to remember something. You don't go into business because you like people. You don't go into business because you want to lose money. You go into business because what you want to do is you want to increase your assets. You want to put your money to work and find a way of dealing with it in a, well, in a respectable fashion. If I put a dollar to work, I want to know, am I going to make back $1.10? Am I going to make back $1.20? Or am I going to make back 90 cents? If I want to make back 90 cents, maybe I should just go to play a slot machine. I got a better chance of losing 30 cents on every dollar than I do of making 30 cents on every dollar. You understand? It's a situation in which we can't – hold on a second. We have to recognize that systems like Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act are not affordable. Because when you're forcing families to cut checks of $500, $1,000, $1,500 a month for health insurance with deductibles as high as $10,000 per person, all you're doing is saying, okay, I'm going to charge you for the privilege of being alive and breathing. You and your family are going to pay $18,000 a year in deductibles. Just fees. And if you get sick, you got to shell out another 10 grand. So basically what you're saying is before the insurance company will pay anything on the policy, you in effect have to pay 30 grand a year. Well, if the average folks in the country make less than $50,000 a year, what are we supposed to live on? What are we supposed to do? I mean, oh, you're going to turn around and say, well, they get subsidies. Well, you know where they get subsidies from, don't you? The government just doesn't be nice and say, you know what, we'll pay the balance for you. The guy who makes more than 50 grand a year, well, the guy who makes $50,000 or $51,000 a year who doesn't get any subsidies, he gets to pay for the guy behind him. Is that fair? Is that fair taxation? Of course not. It's not fair. If we're all being forced to buy something we don't want, which, by the way, is a perfect way of saying the communist government is now in charge. If we're being forced to buy something we don't want, then at least we should be all faced the same obligation. I recognize that the impact of $10,000 on a family of five who are making less than $48,000 or $50,000 a year economically might not be the same impact as a person who makes $60,000 or $70,000 or $80,000 or $100,000 a year. But it is fair because it's equal. We all have the same equal obligation to pay. Just like when you walk into a store and you pay your 6 or 7 or 8 or 9% sales tax, whatever it is they decided to tack on it because, you know, the uncle governor wants a piece of the pie every time you spend your money that you've already been taxed upon. It doesn't make a difference if you make $30,000, you make $300,000. If the sales tax is 5% for round numbers, and you spend $100, your tax is $5. Period. That's the end of it. That's that flat tax concept. But, you know, it hasn't seemed to go anywhere except outside the United States. The idea of a flat tax or a flat income tax. But these are situations in which we have to recognize that we're not being treated equally. We're being hammered out and we're being pigeonholed. And this is going to lead to a bigger and more destructive situation moving forward. Now, do I believe that Hillary's going to make college, state-run college free for all? Well, no, because if it's a state-run entity, then the state should be able to control whether or not it makes it available at no charge or low charge or whatnot to its residents. And then, of course, it charges different fees for those that are out of state because it takes into account, theoretically at least, the tax money that you've contributed to the state as part of the benefits of living in a particular place. I get that. Hell, not only did I get it, I took advantage of it when I was trying to figure out that I was going back to school for political science long before I went to law school because I spent a year and a half at a community college finishing my associate's degree in all my starter classes. Hey, I paid for it. It wasn't free, but it sure as hell wasn't what I was paying at some of the other schools for per credit. It was affordable, and it was, if you ask me, pretty damn good education. But it's these things that we have to look at and recognize are causing us a problem, because if we continue to drain money from the system for the sole purpose of redistributing it to others, the system's not going to stand. It's going to fall. It will break. I don't care if you call that redistribution a tax break under Donald Trump, where he's going to lower the taxes on the wealthy. Well, if the wealthy are the only ones with money, because we're basically living from paycheck to paycheck as middle class and working poor, if we make them have more money, do you think the idea of their investment will actually flow downhill? I realize this is, again, the concept of trickle-down economics, and if you ask any left-wing lunatron, they're going to tell you it doesn't work, but I'm going to argue that it does work. Because if you have resources to put to work, getting a half a point or a tenth of a point or nothing in a bank will force you to invest money somewhere else. You look for a return. It's basic economics. Of course, basic economics doesn't seem to work with the left because they think paying $15 an hour for a guy that flips the burger is a fair wage, but don't realize that if you pay him $15 an hour, you can't keep the whole staff at 25 that you got working. You got to almost cut it by a third, if not a half, and now everybody's doing twice the work for, well, they're getting paid twice as much, but now we got half the people unemployed. We must. If America is going to thrive, recognize the simple fact that economics is the driving force. Making lives better is the driving force. I know we started off with, well, where are we going to be in the world? Look at it this way. What happened after World War II? The world was devastated. There was very little infrastructure, very little manufacturing in Europe and in Asia. There was displaced persons. There were refugees coming out of our ears. Millions upon millions of people were moved, displaced, killed, and whatnot. But what did America have? America had the tools. America had the people. America had the infrastructure to make its life better. The middle class rose and exploded after World War II in America because we had what was necessary for the rest of the world to enjoy their, as we created it. We were an exporting country. We built things. Besides the fact that we built our tanks and our planes and our bombs and our rockets and our guns, we built so much of it we were able to export it to our allies who couldn't build those. That's the Lend-Lease stuff they probably don't teach in school anymore. But the issues are fairly the same. If we're constantly making it more expensive to simply live from day to day, planning one's future becomes more and more complicated. The problem I have with Hillary, besides the fact that I think she's a liar and a cheat and an underhanded opportunist, is that she's telling me straight out, I'm going to take what you've got and I'm going to give it to somebody else. On the other hand, I'm more concerned with Trump being looked at as a political outsider who's unwilling to listen to other people about how things work. I get it. The man made fortunes. And I like the idea that he lost $1 billion and didn't pay taxes for 18 years. Well, you know what? Did he lose $1 billion or did he have $1 billion worth of tax deductions he was able to carry forward? I don't care. He didn't write the tax code the 20 years that he was in that problem. But he took advantage of the situation. That's the thing I like about him, is that he can take advantage of situations. On the other hand, he doesn't take advantage of the people around him that understand things. Walking around and being the big man on campus and saying, I know more than the generals. I know more than the political analysts. I know more than this. You know what? I don't want you to pump yourself up. I don't need you to pump yourself up. I don't care if you pump yourself up. What I want you to do is listen to people who have the experience and who do the jobs you hire them for. See, that's the biggest problem I have with Trump, is whether or not he will let the people he hires, the people he pays to do their job, to actually do their job. Not a big fan of micromanagement. That's why I'm not a big fan of Jimmy Carter. Besides the fact that the man turned into a raging anti-Semite, he was a micromanager. As opposed to Ford, who was, I'm sorry, as opposed to Reagan, who was someone who openly allowed the people to do their jobs. Some of them got in trouble for it, others did not. But the bottom line happens to be, you got to have a balance in the White House. Micromanagement doesn't work. Complete autonomy doesn't work. But there are benefits to autonomy. As you and I know, do you do your job better when your boss leaves you alone? Or do your job better when your boss is standing over your shoulder, looking down at everything you do, commenting on every comma, period, and exclamation point you put in a report? It's those things. And it's those issues that we face with today and will come to fruition in 3 weeks as we try to figure out whether or not America will be looked at as a respectable, strong, and, well, to be very frank with you, feared player again. Sit tight. Be right back after this. I'm Warren Markowitz. This is Politically Incorrect on a Warren Markowitz Show. Thank you. I'll be right back.
It's his world. You just live in it. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
This program is brought to you by the Law Office of Warren R. Markowitz, Esquire. Attorney Markowitz, that's me, is licensed in New York, the U.S. District Court and Bankruptcy Courts in Colorado, and the 9th and 10th Circuit Courts of Appeal. For more information or to see if I can help you with your case, please contact me at info@markowitzlawfirm.com. That's markowitzlawfirm.com. Warren Markowitz, Esquire. A modern lawyer for modern times. Cryptocurrency and traditional forms of payment accepted.
Red State Talk Radio.
The Talk Monster.
Okay, let's look at a couple of things here. Regardless of who becomes president, seriously, it doesn't really make a difference in the grand scheme of things. We've got four problematic areas developing in the world. We've got Russia stretching her legs once more and trying to create an empire and return ourselves to the glory, if not necessarily the economic disaster that the Soviet Union was. We have China stretching out her wings and trying to expand her influence in her sphere, and that would be pretty much everything south of Japan. And then, of course, we've got Iran, who wants to make sure that if you don't agree with the way they live or behave or participate in the world, that you'll likely be a glow pop. And then there's Pakistan, the unstable, questionable participant in the Indian subcontinent. And why did I throw Pakistan in there? Because Pakistan and India have been having disagreements since the subcontinent was divided, thanks to the English. And they've got Kashmir, which is enough for them to fight over and to threaten each other on a daily basis with. And, of course, they've got competing religious and political systems that don't seem to want to find anything but a tenuous quiet. If a major war breaks out in that part of the world, it is likely to start in that little tinderbox we call the subcontinent between India and Pakistan. Where it goes from there, it's pretty much the world catches fire. On the other hand, we've got Iran. Iran, who's now multi-million dollars, billion dollar, or billion dollars richer, thanks to a settlement with the U.S. government who decided to pay it. I'd love to say this one. In cash, as well as in wire transfers. And then, of course, we were lied about the wire transfer issues because they said you can't do something that you actually can do. And for those of you who are saying that I'm actually nuts, let me explain to you how bank wire transfers work. You've heard of SWIFT wire transfers, and if you haven't, SWIFT transfers are not wire transfers. They are messages. They are comments that go between banks. They take certain formats, and it's a SWIFT message. SWIFT message doesn't move money. What moves money is Bank A, Bank B, Bank C, Bank D, Bank E. You see where I'm going with this? It's like a giant game of telephone, and it's called correspondent banking. Now, what happens with this is if Bank A wants to send money to Bank B, but Bank A and Bank B do not have a relationship with each other. In other words, they don't have omnibus, what's referred to as an omnibus clearing account, an inbound and outbound transaction account. They have to go through other banks. So Bank A looks over and sees Bank C. Bank C doesn't have a relationship with Bank B either, but Bank C has a relationship with Bank D. So what happens is Bank A does this transaction with C. C does it with D. And D, might be lucky enough and says, I have a relationship with B. It does the transaction on behalf of the first bank and records the activities accordingly. It's called correspondent banking. It is complicated. It is archaic, and it is a real pain in the ass. But something else you should know. Under the rules for the AML and BSA, the Anti-Money Laundering and Bank Secrecy Acts, you monitor these transactions. And, of course, there's something called OFAC, which is the Office of Foreign Asset Control, which basically requires you to filter these transactions and identify whether or not they are allowed to occur. So when we're told, by our illustrious press secretary and his president that they couldn't send the money via wire transfer, then I have a question for you. If you can't do something, why must you monitor for it? It's just for the record, you can send money to North Korea, you can send money to Burma. A little more complicated than both those things, or Myanmar. You can send money to other places in the world too, including Cuba. But again, it's complicated, it's paperwork intensive, but the point happens to be, it happens. You could do it. And if you could do it, well, guess what? And I guess monitoring for it is necessary. So why lie to us? Why don't we just send it? Why send, a airplane full of cash in U.S. dollars, euros, and everything else you can possibly think of? Well, it's because that money's going someplace other than the bank or the treasury. It's part of their foreign reserves. I doubt that. But anyway, war is my concern. Plain and simple. We have ignored the simple fact that over the last 4+ years, we have managed to alienate, in effect, just about every ally and just about every potential enemy the United States has had. We have had, over the last 8 years, the worst foreign policy president possible. Mr. Obama, as much as I respect you as a person, I do not respect you as a president. I don't think history is going to look at you as a successful president. Economically, there were more people unemployed, there were more people dependent upon a government, and there is more money being drawn out of the economic system based upon policies and goals you've advanced. But on a foreign circles, You have drawn red lines in the sand, and the sand has simply disappeared. You haven't taken a stand. You haven't effectively shown that America is not going to let people walk all over her. It's simple. If you threaten somebody, you have to follow through. They're not going to back down necessarily. And if they're a bully, they are going to push you to the point in which you may or may not be able to recognize their actions. You see, guys, here's the biggest issue I got. The biggest issue I've got with our foreign policy is that it doesn't appear to be anything that advances America's ideals. I realize that the Palestinians, who, by the way, happen to be a UN construct, that's right, there's never been a Palestinian country. There's never been a country called Palestine. There's been territories called Palestine, but they were named by the Romans, and they were still filled with Jews. But we're not going to get into the political aspects of that. We're talking about the simple fact that we have never, this president himself, has never looked to advance our interests as a country, the United States, in the Middle East. Pushing to have Iran being given billions of dollars and to be able to postpone its development of a nuclear program does nothing except kick the can down the street. And when you kick the can down the street, all you're doing is leaving the responsibility to somebody else. Especially when the economic sanctions were crushing people to the point in which yelling uncle was the next logical step. You get it? You understand where we're going with this? They abandoned operating policy, functioning policy, because it was inconvenient for the narrative. Think about all the things that have happened in this country from and I'm not using this as a dirty term, from foreigners. People who have been brought here, people who have come here that don't really want to be here. Have you ever been one of those people yourself? Have you ever gone somewhere and said, you know what, I just don't want to be here. I want to go home. I realize it's a disaster. I realize there are problems. I don't want to be here. I want to go home. I want to go to a place that I feel comfortable in, even if it's crazy. Of course we all have. Every last one of us have. Whether you're a kid and you're staying away from home for the first time, or your house is being painted or fumigated, or worse yet, you were subject to a foreclosure and you were literally tossed out on the street. Refugees in this country, as open-armed and as willing to help as America is, are not our problem. They should never have been made our problem. They are the cause and effect of a lot of headaches here in the U.S. And I'm not talking about they're the ones responsible for the trillion-dollar deficits. This money that could have been spent someplace else, I agree. But they're not the ones responsible. Leadership is responsible because they think they can build a better world by bringing them here. Well, I got a question for you. If you can't recognize the simple fact that democratic principles and republic principles, the principles of a republic, in other words, a representative democracy, which is where we is what we are. We're not a direct democracy. We're not a democracy. We are a representative republic. We are a democratic republic, which is a representative democracy. If you can't recognize that some places in this world just don't function well with that idea and those concepts, then forcing it upon people is going to be the preparation for failure. You see, in the U.S. over the last year or the last 2 years, any domestic terrorist activities that occurred in mass shootings, and I'm not going to include that crazy that walked into a black church in the Carolinas and shot it up after talking to the preacher. That was just, I don't even want to get into that, but it wasn't because of people being forced to live in parts of the world that they're not familiar with, forced to live in cultures they're not familiar with, forced to live, that's right, they're forced. A refugee who comes is only supposed to be here temporarily. They're not supposed to be given citizenship. They're not supposed to be given, they're not immigrants. They're not coming here because they wanted to come here. They're coming here because there's a place to put them. So bringing in 100,000 or a million of Syrian refugees, why aren't they in the Middle East where they're more comfortable, where the cultures are the same, where the environments are the same, where the political structures are the same, where they can go home when a war is over? Or better yet, when they can contribute to ending the war itself. You see, our foreign policy is so screwed up that what it's going to lead to, it's going to lead to conflict with people that we don't need to have conflict with. We are, biggest problem we have with the Soviet Union. You know, remember the evil Soviet Empire, as Reagan referred to them. And if you've ever visited there, you'd recognize that they weren't 10 years behind us. They weren't 20 years behind us. They were more like 30 years behind us in production, in food, in living conditions, in literally the basic humanitarian perspectives and goals. They just weren't there. They couldn't get there. They couldn't get there because they built their goals on equal pain to every participant in a country except for those in charge. It's those little things. It's those concepts that the far left in this country are pushing as examples of success. They're not. And what they've done now is, because of their activities, they've put us in a position that we haven't been in 40 years. We really haven't had a threat of war in over 40 years. Since the 1970s, there hasn't been an active threat to the United States other than Islam and Islamic-related terrorism. Because the Soviet Union was on a down, was spinning out of control, was heading for the basement. And even when we were politically opposite, we still had the Apollo-Soyuz missions. We still had joint opportunities to advance humanity. We're losing that again. We're losing those positions. China's making a race for space. The Russians are making advances in their space program. We're developing a space program now built around commercial as opposed to government run. Hey, that's a smart move. Okay, but you know, NASA still should be advancing and directing a uniform goal to put people in space, to put people on another planet. We should be working together. It should be a government. In my opinion, it should be a government and a private run opportunity. Why? Well, because they've got the research from the last 50 or 60 years. You don't build things in a vacuum. I guess you could build things for a vacuum, but you don't build things in a vacuum unless you're in a spacesuit, and that's the point I'm getting at. You see, neither Trump nor Hillary are going to advance our foreign relations very far. But which one is going to be seen as weaker? Which one is going to be seen as unwilling to take that necessary step? How far will others push us? Will China continue to advance upon the South China Sea by building artificial islands and air bases? And will we sit there and simply complain about it, and maybe drive a destroyer or two through it just to prove we can go there? Or are we going to say, you know what, can't do this no more. Keep what you got. We're done with the rest. Are we going to continue to allow Russia to advance its military purposes in parts of the world in which all it does is continue a problem? I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,000 more. Syria, let them kill each other. Let it collapse. Let it do what it wants to do. because eventually what happens is the civilian population can't take it anymore. The whole House of Cards will come tumbling and crumbling down. You see, stopping a war for humanitarian aid, stopping a war to take care of the civilian wounded, stopping... Why? Why are we stopping just to help out? All it does is push it forward. No, actually, those people don't deserve anything they're getting. But did you do it? Did I do it? Did the guy next to you do it? Are we the cause of their problems? If we're not the cause, then why are we the solution? If we're not a participant in the mix, how can we be a resolution to the problem? The whole issue in Syria is they don't like the guy in charge. I don't like the guy in charge. I don't even know the guy in charge. He's a crazy optometrist or a crazy dentist or whatever the hell it may be. But who cares? It's not my home. I don't live there. I don't have to live under his rules. I don't have to live in that environment. You don't want to live there? Pick up and leave. The last place that wouldn't let people leave that I remember was the Soviet Union. And look how well that worked out for them. Especially when that wall came crumbling down in East Berlin. The point is very well made. History tells us what we need to do. History tells us we just need to let the bad guys implode and they'll be fine. But what happens when we don't have the resources to take advantage of that? When we're now $25 trillion in debt. It's trillions. You know, have you ever looked at $1 trillion? You know what $1,000 looks like, right? It's one with three zeros. Then $1 million is six zeros. And $1 billion is nine zeros. $1 trillion is 12 zeros. 12 zeros. $1 trillion is 12 zeros. We are 20... 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, $1 trillion in debt. We've got 300 million people. 300, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Each person has a debt, ready, you love this one, of $66,666.67. If we cut the number of people in half, to say that only one out of every two people pays taxes, that means each taxpayer has a bill as of today of $133,000. $133,000. That's what they've got. Congratulations, welcome to America. You now have a bill of $133,000. How do you want to take care of that cash or credit? Oh, by the way, we don't take U.S. dollars. We only take gold or silver. You get it? You start off in a hole. And when you usually start off in a hole, you got to realize you stop digging. Because you can't get yourself out of a hole by digging one to China. As my mother would say, when you start digging a hole, how deep are you going to go? You're going to hit China? Remember? Well, anyway, back after this. Sit tight.
Red State Talk Radio.
The Talk Monster.
Mostly Mail, your local provider for all your postal packaging and mailing needs. Owned and operated by your neighbors, Mostly Mail provides the packaging and mailing services you need when dealing with all your holiday shipping. Visit Bill and the Boys at 7260 West Azure Drive, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89130, or give them a call at 702-294-6245. That's 702-294-6245 for more information. Mostly Mail, your local provider for postal packaging and mailing needs. They keep me connected. They can keep you connected. Stop on in and tell them Warren sent you.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world. world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-605-6818. That's 800-605-6818. 800-605-6818.
Separating the matter from the chatter, this is the Warren Markowitz Show.
Yes, it is the Warren Markowitz. I love that voice, huh? John did such a great job when he did those for me. Anyway, here's the thing. Between the economics that we're faced with currently, between the ideas and the concepts of distributing more of the wealth so that everybody feels better about themselves, as opposed to creating an opportunities for people to have jobs. You can't tax yourself into prosperity. I don't care if it's Clinton. I don't care if it's Trump. I don't care if it's a Democratic Congress or a Democratic Senate. I don't care if it's Republicans or whatnot. We have to recognize the simple facts. We've lost the concept of basic economics. We have gone to the point where we realized that, hey, I can keep taking from people because they're going to keep giving to me because they have no other way of looking at it. Well, you know what? It's up to us to turn around and say to the rest of the world, and in this case, the rest of the world happens to be our government, that number one, we're not going to pay this anymore. We can't pay it anymore. It's not fair because it's not giving us the opportunity to use our own benefits. We don't labor for somebody else. We labor for ourselves. I don't want to keep going back to the ideas and concepts of Ayn Rand, but you got to remember that we work for ourselves. You don't go out and get a job because you want to make somebody else rich. You go out and get a job because you want to take care of those in your family. You create an environment in which you earn money because you have places to spend that money. Things you must do, insurances you must pay for, predominantly auto insurance as opposed to health insurance. But you and your home and your food and your clothing and your gasoline, these are things you want to you spend your money on. These are things that you trade your labor and your knowledge for. Well, why must I share half of everything I own with somebody else? Half. Do you realize that the American Revolution was precipitated through the concept of taxation without representation and the idea that the king can put a tax on paper, on tea, on anything else? The idea of a sales tax is what started the American Revolution. You know, it was referred to as the Stamp Act, but it boils down to a sales tax. That's what the Boston Tea Party was all about. Taxing my tea? But when you sit down now and you look at what you got, you know, I don't have anything other than Nevada and New York as a reference point. But in Nevada, I have my sales tax, which is like at this point, it's going, I think, to 8.25 because they want to put more cops on the street. I got news for you. They got plenty of cops. What they got too much of is you know, people that are not respectful of each other, and it leads to crime and leads to problems. But in general, I think we got plenty of cops. All kidding aside. But I've got the federal tax, which anywhere between 13 and 35% is really what you pay in federal tax, plus your sales tax of 8 and change. So the overall tax burden is roughly 40 cents out of every dollar. plus your property tax and all the other knickknacks. You see where I'm going with this? Your taxes or your fees. I like that one. The fees to register your car. The gasoline taxes, your sales taxes. Every time you turn around, somebody wants a little bit more for what they're buying. For what you're buying. What you're using your money for. Then you go to New York, you go to places like in Long Island where I grew up, which, by the way, is right now the most expensive place in the country to live. And if you're lucky enough to earn $100,000 a year, you might have $4,000 a month in income to spend. Think about that. You make $100, you get back $50 or thereabouts. That's what they allow you to keep. That's where the government says, we know better for what than you do. This is the cost of being a privileged person and living here. Guys, at what point do we turn around and say, you know what? I get it. You two clowns want to compete for the White House. One of you two guys is going to be, or gals, or one of you two guys, as in the non-sexual orientated, you know, generic term, is going to be a president. But do you recognize the simple fact that as a taxpayer, I'm the guy paying for this whole thing? It's my labor that's keeping you in power. It's my labor that's keeping your government operating. Because it hasn't become our government just yet. It becomes our government when they recognize they work for us and not for themselves. Where even if I paid you $170,000 a year as a senator or a congressman, you don't come out as a multimillionaire because you've got all the connections and all the answers. Because the system is rigged in your favor. You come out and go back to doing whatever you did beforehand. Whether that's a step up or a step down, that's completely up to you. But in general, at what point do we turn around and say to our government, I've had enough? Because World War III, whether you like it or not, is a reality. It just hasn't happened yet. They're going to use the argument that wars advance economics. Well, they do when the money you spend is kept domestically. When the money you spend is used to advance the cause, it don't when the money goes someplace else. And being a service economy, we are well behind the eight ball when it comes to being able to support and develop and advance our military needs in time of war. I, for one, am not interested in fighting another battle. Historically speaking, I don't think America has it in her. Not when we've got students and a generation that looks for safe spaces and words hurt them. We're not the same as before. Now, if we want to build a better society and we want to build a better world for ourselves and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, then we have to do the hard choices and take the hard steps and advance what's necessary to advance America. And that is, do the things that we don't want our kids to do. Take the stands we don't want our kids to take. Make the hard choices. Make the choices now to rebuild America. Make the choices now to advance our economic goals of being independent, not internationally dependent. Be the one that is selling and not buying. That's what America needs to do. We've got to return to the good old days when we're shipping stuff overseas, when we're shipping food, when we're shipping oil, when we're shipping cars, we're shipping boats, when we're shipping all the little knickknacks and doodads that we buy that say made in China or made somewhere else. Putting America back to work is probably the best thing that we can do for this country. It'll avoid problems internationally. It'll avoid war. It will certainly avoid an economic destruction that is looming, because at $133,000 per taxpayer, we have got a lot of debt and nothing to show for it. Keep that in mind in 21 days. Keep that in mind when people talk about Russia and China stretching their wings and trying to make the world what they want. I'm not interested in what they want. I'm interested in what's best for us. Thanks again. I'm Warren Markwitz. This is Politically Incorrect on the Warren Markwitz Show. Catch you next. Well, catch you Friday. Be good.
Separating the matter from the chatter. This is the Warren Markwitz Show. The Warren Markwitz Show. It's his world. You just live in it. Feeding the hunger. Red State Talk Radio.